Soul Tape. The champ is Champions here. Live is the name. Talking sports is our game. Welcome to Urban Media Today Radio. I'm your co-host Bill Neal, along with Kevin Cameron. It is Soul Take, Champions Live Sports Talk Show.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Kevin Cameron, and I am so hyped. It's official. The Pittsburgh Steelers are back on the football field. They're in the troll to kick off the 2019 campaign. Let's get this party started right. Start things off, of course. And Bill, I told you that this would happen.
You tell me a lot of stuff. I have a hard time keeping up with the stuff you tell me.
Well, let's start things off. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
You see what I'm wearing, right?
Let me finish. The Pittsburgh Steelers signed Mike Tomlin to a one-year contract extension with a one-year option. So Mike Tomlin has re-upped, and there's three reasons for this. As I mentioned before, we cannot have any distractions for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2019. So you sign Mike Tomlin, you take away any distractions in that regard. In addition, you have Big Ben, number 7, Ben Roethlisberger. They don't want Ben to have another coach. It makes sense. Why would they try to bring in another coach? For those Mike Tomlin haters, I should say, it makes sense to sign Mike Tomlin. And the third reason is the Steelers' way. The Steelers traditionally keep their coaches a long time. So I gave you three reasons, Bill, so I'll let you respond.
Well, look, first of all, there's pluses and negatives to being on the show with you.
Okay.
The pluses, well, I can't, but the negatives
There's too many pluses.
And to my brother in here, I have to concede when he's right. And he's been on a roll. He called Tiger not winning. He called Sabrina not winning. And then he called Tomlin signing up. So, but when it's right, it's right. I'll give it up.
Put it in the paper. What did you put in the paper? Well, about Sabrina, right?
I put a lot of stuff in the paper. But I don't read it because I don't believe half the stuff I write.
Yeah.
So ain't no sense.
Put it out there for public consumption.
But speaking of the public, let me just admit, I did write in my column in the Pittsburgh Courier that Kevin Cameron was right. He said Sabrina should not have played.
Sabrina's sister,
should not play in the doubles match. And it would work against her in the singles match. And I told him he can't tell Serena what to do. And Serena lost. So he takes credit for that. And a blind man could have told you Tiger wasn't going to win nothing else.
Okay, Mike Tomlin.
All right, you got lucky about Tomlin, man. They have to sign him. But look,
okay.
I'm in agreement with it. And look, the other reason he got a one-year and not a two-year extension is because there's a message being sent. You got to tighten up the ship. Now.
No, let me hold you up right
here. Just ask me a question.
No, because
you just asked me for
it. On Soul Take Champions Live, Bill, you know we provide good information, not bad information. And I know you're getting up in age and everything, and maybe you didn't hear one piece of what I said.
Say it again.
I said Mike Tomlin has a one-year option. Mike Tomlin has a one-year option. The Pittsburgh Steelers do not have a one-year option. Now, when they renew their coaches, they normally tackle on 2 years at a time. So what this does, this aligns Mike Tomlin's contract to Ben Roethlisberger, as I indicated.
True enough.
And Mike Tomlin will have the option if Big Ben steps away, do I want to stay for this transition or do I want to leave?
True enough. And further discussion can be held because we also have some people with us today that know a little bit about the Steelers.
Okay.
And I don't know how much they know about the Steelers. I know this. They've been in Pittsburgh all their lives, and I know they have commentary about it. But let me introduce to our audience three of the greatest basketball players that ever played in the city of Pittsburgh, for that matter, Western Pennsylvania. To my immediate right is Mike Williams. hails from the north side of town, Allegheny High School, back in the day, right? Before the mergers and all that, and I'm going to say something about all three of these guys in a second. And then also with us tonight is Clarence Hobson out of Shenley, who ran there during the Shenley Dynasty era. I mean, when they were the best of the best. And on the opposite side of the table is Bobby Bird. And let me just say this about these three guys. You know, in the world, when you can be recognized by just one name, you know you made it to the top. LeBron, Cher, Michael, when you say them names, you know who you're talking about. And Kevin, let me just say this. Mm-hmm. You could be anywhere in the city of Pittsburgh from 1970 to 2000. Now, I stopped there because of youngsters. We don't count the youngsters.
Okay.
If you said Bird.
No, but you can educate them.
If you said Bird, didn't nobody say Bird who? You knew you was talking about Bobby Bird. If you said Hop, you knew you was.
No one even thought about Larry.
It's Harry. Clarence Hobson. Ain't no
saying. Is that what I'm hearing? No one thought about Larry Bird.
Not even close.
All right.
And then now. But when you said Magic, you had to be you had to take a step.
Okay.
Because there's Magic, and then there's Black Magic. Now, Magic, you knew you were talking about Mike Williams, but you had to hold a second to make sure you wasn't talking about Black Magic, who was Ricky Coleman. But when you have a name that identifies you, it tells you the level and the height that you've ascended to. And these are three of the greatest players in the history of City League basketball, for that matter, Western Pennsylvania and Pennsylvania basketball. I invited them in here today because, you know, Lord knows I try. I mean, I try to make the world a better place. And a couple weeks ago, Mike, I put it out there. I said, well, let me run through this. In my opinion, now look, let's not forget, I'm a Penn Hills cat, football player playing out in Penn Hills all my life. I don't know the basketball game like that. And I merge into the city. I only know what I saw from 74 on forward. And I said, let me write the 10 greatest players in City League history of all time. Lord, what I do that for? Now, I'm going to put some people on point. I didn't do the list by myself. I got a little bit from Kirk Bruce. I got a little bit from Richie Coleman. And then I catch the heat when a couple of names get left out. So during the course of this show, given that you guys have seen and played against the best, we're going to compile the ultimate 10 greatest players in City League history. You're right, but we're going to try. We got to try, right? And then you're right. It can't be done. I had to extend it to 15, Birdie. I had to turn it to a 15. And then it was about to be a top 20 list. They would be here all night with this.
That's going to be hard.
It's hard. And guess what? Guess what else is going to make it hard? The three of you got to do it and keep your names out of it.
I know.
We'll have some fun with it. But look, we'll come back to that. But I do want to ask the guys, you know, your comments. Well, let me just bring this to a point. For anybody out there that thinks starting tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., anybody still cares about the Pirates, you're fooling yourself. That's done. Yeah. Pirates are done. They lost 9 in a row. Kev called that right, too. Damn, I got
thank you, man.
More credit. I can't give you no more credit.
You got a lottery number?
I'm not a gambler, so I can't help you there.
But you know, you tell them what your position is on the Pirates. I can't speak for you.
Well, we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves.
But that's fine. It's a quick
one. You know, all we say, the Pirates, you know, in the city of Pittsburgh, we unify all the colors, black and gold, but the Pirates, their gold is something else, is really fool's gold. So their colors are, if you ask me, black and fool's gold. And they do not really deserve the attention because the ownership is just so bad. So me personally, I boycott them from going to the games because I know year in and year out, it's the same process, it's the same failing ways and everything. So.
The power to hustle.
Yeah. So he's taking the money and he's not doing anything with it. The Pirates are 28 out of 30 teams in Major League Baseball from a payroll standpoint. They're just not making good decisions as far as putting the players on the field. They're looking to get lightning in a bottle, if you understand what I'm saying. If all the players play to their best potential, they'll do okay. But how often does that happen? And with this year, it's a good example. They got hit with a lot of injuries, which, you know, if you don't have depth, it's going to kill you. So that's my perspective from a power standpoint.
Well, let me get this comment from Magic Mike, because, and I'll preface it by saying this, and Mike, I remember this being said about you, that you were a D1 basketball prospect, football prospect, and could have gone either way. And I also understood that you didn't have no problem knocking a softball over the Allegheny. So, you know, your talent spoke for itself. But with that football background, your attitude about the Steelers getting ready for the season?
Well, my expectations of them, I really believe that they can be one of the best teams in the league if they stick together and discipline themselves and listen to the coach more. Some of the talent that they lost, it's going to be a little thing with Antonio Brown replacing him. I think they're going to have a little bit of trouble replacing him. But overall, I just don't see nobody in the division beating them still. I still think they're the number one team to beat. They gave it away last year. They didn't lose it. They gave it away last year.
You're right. They were right there.
Yeah.
What do you think, Hop?
Well, I think actually Kevin hit it right on the head. The Steelers are in a situation now where I think in their locker room, it'll be a lot better. Maybe not a lot better, but I think it will be better. I also think he was correct. If you look at their history, the last three coaches the Steelers had have been longtime coaches. And actually, with the contract that Tomlin signed, it's somewhat of a two-year contract, because in that second year, he has that option to do what he wants after that particular year. Now, a lot of people in the division are talking about Cleveland. Okay, because of what they've done with the trades in the offseason, and, you know, the new coach, new quarterback, we'll see how that all works out. I also feel that, you know, the Steelers have a good chance to, you know, do well in the conference. Baltimore's going to be tough again, probably. The division's going to be better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be tough.
But I think, you know, anyone who's played sports knows the camaraderie
is important.
The locker room, that definitely helps out. You know, might not win you a lot of games, but it will get you on the right track to win some games.
Let me ask you to hand that mic to Bobby Bird. We just talked about Allegheny High School, which became what? Bashir?
No.
Perry.
Middle school. Yeah.
Oh, so it's still a functioning school.
Yes.
Okay, but I mean, the students went to where?
Langley.
All right, and Langley's closed now, right?
Yes.
Okay. But as much as we talk about Shinley High School, if you're going to talk about Shinley, you got to talk about Fifth Avenue.
Yeah.
Bobby Bird hails from Fifth Avenue and played football, basketball. So you got
because I'm from Alabama. I grew up in the city of Pittsburgh. So Shinley, Fifth Avenue,
Allegheny.
Which one was the better high school?
Well, now that's easy to answer, huh?
Well,
better high school from a sports program standpoint.
You got 3 hours?
All this.
If you really look at it, I would have to say Shirley, because they won like more state champions than any other city school. So
okay.
I have no problem with saying Shirley. But I'm always going to be an Archer,
though. And that's relevant. I mean,
When
you talk about Allegheny, some of the greatest athletes in this city.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about it. I'm going to come back to Bird real quick. Territorially, you had great athletes on the north side. You had great athletes in the hill, upper here, lower here. I mean, you can write books about the development of the athletes that come from these areas. But let me get Bird's comment about the Steelers before we go to our break.
Well, I kind of agree with Hop and Magic. Whatever the Steelers do this year, it's because they're going to join together. You know, so-called they got the bad element out, so we'll see where they go. But I always felt like they could control Ben a little more. I don't see Ben throwing 60 times a game. That's not his style. You know?
Need not be.
Yes.
Need not be.
But they give him that freedom. And sometimes it hurts us, sometimes it helps us. But as a Steelers fan from the 70s, hand that ball off. We got a nice little young running back now. They can do his thing.
And the best offensive line in the game.
Yes.
And that boy they got from Kentucky.
Yeah.
Shell.
Yeah. So I can see us winning the division.
And I think we win the division. I think that this expectation in Cleveland is I really think it's overblown because, as Kahat mentioned, there has to be a coming together. There has to be a melting of talent and personalities and attitudes. And you only need to look back on the Lakers and Karl Malone and the glove trying to win a title in their last year to tell you it don't happen just like that. You can put a ton of talent somewhere and it doesn't happen like that. But the expectations are high in that I've been a longtime proponent that if you can't say anything good about somebody, don't say nothing at all. Well, I can't say nothing good about Bell and Brown. They're gone good. The chaos is gone with them. The controversy is gone with them. Ben's need to force the ball to Brown is gone with them. He can spread the ball around in a logical manner now. And my contention is they win the division, and people keep forgetting about the Ravens. The Ravens are not done, and Cincinnati is building. And it's going to be tough. And KC may go to the Super Bowl.
Cincinnati's building what?
Well, they're building up.
They're not building much at all. They have a new head coach down there.
Well, they're building up.
I don't believe they're building. I think they're spinning their wheels. Andy Dalton is not the answer. And I think they're in trouble. And as far as Baltimore, I think Baltimore is under the radar. You can't forget about Baltimore. However, I don't believe in Lamar Jackson. And we have to keep in mind, a lot of times we get caught up in what was done in a given year. Keep in mind, RG3 was all that his first year when he played for the Redskins. So he couldn't do anything wrong. Everybody was all over him. So I'm going to just sit back and watch what happens to Lamar Jackson. But if he can't pass the ball, Baltimore will be in trouble. Now, we have to wrap up the first segment.
As we wrap up, let me tell my guests, everything out this cat's mouth ain't gold even. Now, you got to understand, he's been wrong a whole lot more than he's been right. I gave him some credit coming into the show, but he's been wrong a whole lot more than he's been right. He's like Stargell. He struck out more than he hit home run.
Well, let me tell everyone what's coming up. A huge announcement regarding a head coach from one of Pittsburgh's top sports teams that will appear on our show, Soul Tape Champions Live, on the last Saturday in August, August 31st. I'll announce it coming up. You don't want to miss it.
You're listening to Urban Media Today Radio, your station for classic soul, R&B, old school hip hop, gospel, smooth jazz, and more. Listen online at urbanmediatoday.com or download the TuneIn, Live 365, or Urban Media Today Radio apps. They're free, so take us with you. It's Urban Media Today Radio.
Champions Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Kevin Cameron. We are back for segment two of Soul Tape Champions Live. As the music actually indicated, let's get this party started. And we're just sitting around the table talking Pittsburgh Steelers. Also, would like to make everyone aware that we are on Twitter. So please connect with us on Soul Tape at STCL Sports. Now, anything that we talk about, you can hit us up on Twitter and we'll respond to it. So if Bill says something crazy, go ahead and send out a tweet, let us know, and we'll get back to you. But Bill, go ahead and introduce our guests, and I know you have some other things you would like to accomplish as well.
Well, how's this for crazy? Mm-hmm. In their best day, I'll take these three guys, throw in a Ricky Coleman and a Sam Clancy, and beat everything in Aliquippa. Coming or going.
Well,
is that crazy enough for you?
It would have been great to actually see that.
And if you look around the room, you'll see heads going up and down. They ain't gonna say that. They're good guys. They ain't gonna say that. You know, if you notice, everybody's head.
Well, if everyone recognizes Aliquippa and the athletes we have that come out of Aliquippa, so that would be something to see.
Now, just like you said to me moments ago, do you hear the words coming out of my mouth? I said we will take these three cats, Sam Clancy and Ricky Coleman, and beat everybody coming and going from Aliquippa in basketball.
Well, there's an individual from Aliquippa that no one that you're associated with could actually touch.
Oh, talk to me.
No one. Pistol Pete Maravich.
Well, I agree with
How's
that?
How's that?
I agree with that.
Okay, enough said.
Now, Hawkman, enough said. Did you have a chance to play?
Never played against Pete Maravich. I was on a team one time where we played against him, but I never got off the bench.
Okay.
I never got off the bench.
But even still, you had a front row seat.
But I was here for a little while. And he was from Aliquippa. Mm-hmm. He was from Aliquippa.
Right.
Aliquippa has had some good ball players. Even in the 70s, you know, early 70s, mm-hmm. late 60s, yeah. Jerry Dorm
is another one.
Who, by the way, played against Maravich and said that he probably held Maravich to 48 points.
You know what? That was in the NIT, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, did you play against Pip? Bobby Pipkins?
I knew him well.
Okay.
Former school teacher in the city, became a principal mm-hmm. in the city of Pittsburgh.
Right.
Knew him well, never played against him. Played with him in the old timers. When I first started playing with the old timers, okay. He was on the old timers. I did know him well. Yep. Mm-hmm. Deadly jump shot. Correct, right? Deadly jump shot.
Okay.
Well, let me, I tell young people all the time, before you crown Steph Curry the greatest ball handler score you've ever seen in your life, what you have to understand is, if you haven't seen Pete Maravich, you just don't get it.
For real.
If you played in LSU's conference where there was no three, if it was Monday morning and you're playing LSU Saturday, Maravich is getting 44 come Saturday, and there's nothing you can do from Monday to Saturday to stop it. Still the all-time leading scorer in college basketball, and there's no three. Maravich was tonight.
Without a three. Now, who went to Shimley?
I did.
Hop, you went to Shimley. What year did you come out?
I came out in 1970.
1970. I'm not sure if you would remember this picture here. Bill probably doesn't want to look at that picture.
It's a picture of what?
Dennis Wadsley. Okay.
From Ambridge, right? From Ambridge.
I was at that game.
You were at that game?
I was at that game. Let me tell you a quick story. I went to Shimley
uh-huh.
in 1967. I graduated in 1970. They won the state in 66, the year before I got there. They won the state in 70, the year after I left.
Wow.
So my sophomore year, I played with Montel and Biggie Rat and all them that won in 66.
Mm-hmm.
And then my senior year, I played with Ricky and Reese and them, who won in 71.
Yeah.
Although I never got a state championship. Never did.
That's unbelievable.
Okay. Uh-huh. So for the listeners that we have, the book that I passed around is actually called Head of State, and it shows Ambridge player Dennis Wukic.
Wasik.
That pretty much blocked Kenny Durrett from Shinley's shot in the 1967 playoffs. Not playoffs, but
it was, that was
championship.
That was the Western Regional Final. That was at the Pitt Field House. I was actually at that game. I hadn't, again, that was a year before I got to Shinley. I was in ninth grade.
Okay.
Now, as far as I'm concerned, and I've told Bill this several times,
mm-hmm.
Kenny Durrett is the best player to ever come out of Absolutely. Western Pennsylvania,
wow.
period.
Wow.
Just quite frankly, the Big Five voted him the best player to ever play in the Big Five.
Exactly.
When the Big Five was the Big Five
mm-hmm.
in the mid to late 60s. Also, Kenny Durrett was the fourth person drafted in the NBA in 1971.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that in itself. And then in that year, Austin Carr, it was a Lenny Elmore from Kentucky State, and Sidney Wicks. Those were the first three guys drafted ahead of him.
And so, if memory serves me right, even though they were drafted ahead of him, his contract was bigger than all of theirs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of local people, because we...
Cincinnati Royals drafted him.
Yeah. So it was two guys. It was two guys this book mentions in that game, Kenny Durrett and Ed... Petey Gibson.
Ed Petey Gibson.
Okay, they were both held to 33 points. Ambridge dominated the game.
Ambridge
actually
did dominate
won
68-50. But of that 33, Kenny had 27, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And you have to make note, the Ambridge team you're talking about has arguably been ranked the greatest team in WPI in Western Pennsylvania history.
Right.
Now, basketball experts will tell
Midland, too, now.
Well, but no. Ambridge, if you look at basketball experts' data, Ambridge has been recognized as the greatest team to ever play in Western Pennsylvania. They had four Division I players off that starting five. And the argument comes against the Shinley team of Kenny Durrett.
Well, so some people are arguing in Midland in 1965 as well.
Well, and they're in the argument, but of greatest of all time, Shinley and Ambridge. So my point is to get beat by Ambridge was not embarrassing.
And you're correct by also putting Midland in there. Mm-hmm. Norm Van Der. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, in 1965, Simi Hill was rated the second best player in high school behind Lou Alcindor,
exactly.
Alias Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I met Simi Hill with Kenny Durrett, and I said to Simi Hill, "Who's the greatest player you've ever played against?" And he said, "That guy standing right beside me." And then I said to Kenny, "Well, Simi said you're the greatest. Who do you think is the greatest?" And he said, "Simi Hill." So both of them fought that highly of each other.
Norman Van Der went to my alma mater, St. Francis University. That's where I went to school.
Okay.
And I had talked to him several times, and he had told me, at that particular time, if you think about it, Kenny Durrett was only in 10th grade. He was only a sophomore. Simi Hill and Van Der were seniors. And Van Der told me, who played the game, he said that Kenny Durrett was really giving Simi everything he could handle as a 10th grader.
Wow.
He told me that several times. Several times.
Let me do this. Go ahead.
The last one. What about Farrell during that time?
Okay. Farrell, that was more like my time.
Okay.
In fact, in 69, Farrell won the state championship.
Mm-hmm.
That was my junior year. They were good also. They were good fundamental teams. They had good coaching. I forget the coach's name at the time. McCluskey. Ed McCluskey. He's Hall of Fame coach in this area. They were good, but I think that Midland team of 65 was actually better than that Ambridge team of 67.
Is that right? And that's the argument.
That's my opinion.
So let me do this before we get too far along. In a serious note here. I told people a lot over the years, no one came to the Connie Hawkins League to see me. They came to see the greats. And we had the best of the best in the state of Pennsylvania playing in the Connie Hawkins League. First at the Homewood YMCA, 75-79, up to East Hills from 79-89, where we were ranked top 10 in the nation. And for 3 years, top five summer basketball league, as noted by Al McGuire in his book, Heat in the Street, where he said, if you play in the Connie Hawkins League up in East Hills, you got to take two pair of shoes with you. You can't get through one game with just one pair of shoes. Atlantic Constitution ranked us top five, LA League, the Harlem Rucker League, LA League, Chicago, Washington, and then us. So for these guys to have played in one of the nation's greatest summer basketball leagues, it clearly makes them some of the greatest players. It wasn't just the fact of playing basketball. It was for 10, 12, 15 years before the youngins came along and things changed. It was a way of life. You were at East Hills Monday through Friday. You were dressed up. Ladies came in heels, benders, hot dogs, chips. It was the place to be. The whole nine. It was just, and these guys made it, and they made me. Connie Hawkins, whose birthday was just July 14th, I don't know if you knew that, Huck. Connie Hawkins, I owe everything to. When he lent me his name to start the league, my career went from there. So we're going to take this moment to do something visual to recognize two of the guys. We've already inducted Clarence Hobson into the Connie Hawkins League Hall of Fame and the Pittsburgh City League Hall of Fame. And we want to take this opportunity. Here's a story I tell about Bobby Bird, and I told Bird this story. A couple years back, 2 years back, maybe three, the Duke University here in Pittsburgh had a homecoming for all their great players. Norm Nixon, the Gambridge boys, the Nelsons, B.B. Flinery, all the guys, Mike James, everybody came home. After the game at the arena, we all go over to the to a big restaurant over on behind the arena. And everybody's kind of sitting around, and I'm kind of hanging. I'm a pit guy. So I'm hanging out. You know, I tell BB I do him a favor and hang out with him because, you know, Duquesne's best could never beat Pitt's best. So we have that argument all the time. So we're sitting around. Everybody's chit-chatting, about 20, 30 guys. About a half hour, 45 minutes after the game, Norm comes in. Now, Norm had been signing autographs and whatnot, so he was the last one in. So I'm, unlike my mouthy self, I'm actually sitting back, shut up, just watching everything. Norm comes in, he walks around, he shakes everybody. These are, you know, Norm's the man. He's shaking everybody's hand. And Norm hasn't changed. So he finally gets around to me. Bill Neal, what's going on, man? I said, Norm, you still storming. First words out of his mouth was, Neal, how's Bobby Bird? Is that the compliment of compliments? World champion LA Laker Norm Nixon says to me, how's Bobby Bird? And I have a picture somewhere in the archives of Norm and Bobby Bird doing battle behind the home with YMCA. Imagine that, guys. Even Connie Hawkins played on that dinky court behind the Y. We played back there like it was no tomorrow. So and there's a picture of, because we were talking before the show, before one of the games, you know, it's no joke, part of Bobby Bird's game was intimidation, even though he didn't intimidate. The thing I always respected about you, Bird, is that you were as tough as anybody, but you didn't impose your intimidation. The street did.
Yeah,
the street did it for you. What's Bobby Bird? Don't listen to him. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That was like a football player. So, back in my mind, I'm thinking, well, how do we know he's tough? I mean, is it because they say he's tough? He's tough? I don't know. I ain't going to try, but if they say he's tough. So, look, we want to officially, that's official because he's already been inducted into the Connie Hawkins League Hall of Fame, but we want to officially induct Bobby Bird into the Hall of Fame with his plaque because circumstances didn't allow him to make the induction period. So, Bobby Bird, welcome to the Hall, my brother. Thank you for making the Connie Hawkins. Let me just tell you this. I've written this several times. Somewhere between 1979 and 1985, Bobby Bird was the best guard in Pittsburgh, and that included Pitt and Duquesne. And I can't remember who was at Pitt and Duquesne. I guess it's Curtis Aiken and them. Bobby Bird was the best guard in Pittsburgh, and I think everybody knew it. So
a lot of competition.
Yeah, and now, but let me ask you this question: how did you feel about the reputation of Bobby Bird? Did you think about it?
You know what? Ricky Coleman had talked to me maybe about a week ago. And he told me this. He said, B, I don't think you really appreciated your talent. And I thought about it for a minute. You know, and I was like, well, how'd you get that, Rick? I thought I did pretty good. He said, man, from what I seen, you would settle for being second, let somebody else do their thing. You do yours, as long as you won. And it kind of summed me up. I just wanted a W.
Yeah.
You know,
and you got a bunch of them.
That's how I play.
And classic matchups with Jose Champagne, Norm Nixon, Kirk Bruce. I mean, just classic. Well, it's been my pleasure to know you. You did me well all those years, and we're just glad to be able to present this to you.
I appreciate it, Bill. Thank you, brother.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Now, Kevin, you're probably wondering, well, who's the best between Bird and Magic Mike? I guess that's what you want to know.
I'm not even thinking
that. That's what you're wondering.
I can't say
anything. But I think you want to know. I leave it alone. So the next induction presentation goes to, as I said, if you say Magic, you know who I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
One of the finest and most gifted basketball players, one of the finest, most gifted athletes we've ever had. And the story that I tell about, because I tell that Norm Nixon story all the time, the story I tell about Mike is a story that Mike reminded me of, that he was recruited to a Division I college while playing basketball in the Connie Hawkins League.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that epitomizes what we were there for. That's one of the reasons we're there. Yeah, it's community, it's recreation, it's talent, but we moved a lot of cats into college. And my estimation is well over 500 guys in 30 years went on to college after having played in our league. So Magic Mike Williams, reintroduced into the Great Hall.
Thank you. All right. The reason I remember that Kelly Street court was because we won that first championship there, and I was 19 years old. Larry Richardson and Juice Walker, all the guys, they came and took me off of Oslin court and told me I couldn't play with Oslin no more. He said, you got to come play with us.
Play with the men.
And we won that first championship down there, and I was scared to death when I first got on the court, but they made me so comfortable that, you know, it was easy to get past through all that stuff.
Look at those names, huh? Larry Richardson.
Mm.
Really, we sometimes forget to say, I know Ricky Coleman gets the nod, and Dwight Clay, but Larry Richardson was phenomenal in a different kind of way.
No, look, take it from me. take it from me personally. All right, my sophomore year in high school, we played Allegheny High School for the city championship, and they beat us.
Mm-hmm.
They beat us. And on our team, we had Montel Brundage, we had Robert Biggie Rapp Evans. I was on the team, and Billy Boyce was on that team. We had a good team, but they beat us. And it was because of Larry Richardson. We really underestimated him.
Yes, he was.
He was phenomenal with the ball.
Yeah.
And, ball. And then let's do this, because we're running short on time for segment two.
Okay.
And I just have to remind everyone, we still have this big announcement coming up.
It's huge.
I mentioned it before, a head coach from one of Pittsburgh's top sports teams will appear here. So take Champions Live the last Saturday of August, which is August 31st. You all want to know who this person is, and we'll talk about it in segment three.
Well, how many teases you going to give, man?
keep them listening.
Well, as we close out, Mike, just one last comment from Mike Williams. As you told me the story of the coach that recruited you in East Hills, just recap that.
Sonny Smith, he recruited me to go to Auburn. Yep, and he was watching me up at East Hills. I was just coming from CCAC, and he watched me play, and he said, would you like to come to Auburn, young man? And I said, sure. Here's my number, give me a call. Here's my number, give me a call. And we sat down. He actually got fired from Auburn at the time and ended up going to East Tennessee State.
Mm.
That's why I didn't go to Auburn.
Wow.
But the attention nonetheless.
Wow, that's great.
And we've got countless stories like that, certainly from all the local colleges, but some of the big time. So we're going to take a break, come back, put this top 10 list into effect, and wrap up a couple other things. Soul Take Champions Live, coming right back in a moment.
Tune in weeknights at 8 p.m. for The Nightcap, your favorite slow jams for lovers. Or maybe you want to sit back, relax, and unwind. After a long day at work, you'll need a nightcap. So relax. We'll handle the rest. It's The Nightcap on Urban Media Today Radio.
Soul Take. Champions Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
Soul Take Champions Live. I'm Kevin Cameron, and across the table from me, my co-host, Bill Neal, and in the studio today, our three guests, Clarence Hobson, Bobby Bird and Magic Mike Williams. Fellas, we've been talking about many things, from the Pittsburgh Steelers to your planned days to the Connie Hawkins League and everything else. But let's stay on basketball real quick. A few items we need to talk about from an NBA standpoint. Let's talk about Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. They made it official. They went to L.A. They didn't go to the left to the Lakers. They went to the right to the Clippers. Did you all have a chance to check out the press conference?
No, I didn't get a chance to see the press conference, but, you know, I like the pairing of those two, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. But it still comes down to you got to give a report to do it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I don't know what their other pieces are right now, but I'm pretty sure that they'll be competitive. But I don't know how far.
So while you have the mic, who's the better team, Lakers or Clippers?
I actually got to go with the Clippers.
Okay.
I do. I mean, believe me, I've been a LeBron follower all his career, and I want them to win it. But that duo there, to put the pieces together with them, I really believe the Clippers.
I'm
in 100% agreement with Mike.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you why. If you look at the Clippers from the top to the bottom, look how enthusiastic that owner was about those two gentlemen yesterday.
Out of his mind.
But he's always like that.
They talked about that, even in his business.
Steve Ballmer,
he's always that type of individual. And also Doc Rivers.
Look, that's the key. That's what I was going to bring up.
Doc Rivers, and also you got the logo. You got Jerry West in that front office making decisions also.
So I'm
looking at the Clippers now. Defensively,
woo!
And I was mentioning this to Bobby earlier. Paul George was in a great situation. He signed last year for the maximum, because in their collective bargaining agreement, the team you're on, they can sign you for the most money. So he was able to get that last year and re-sign this year with the same amount that he got last year with playing with the Clippers, playing with his friend, Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
The best of both worlds for both of them. And I think Beverly, you know, they got some pieces. They got some guys, you know. I'm looking at the Clippers really in the West, period.
We don't get
I kind of agree with Magic and Hop. Clippers has stepped up. Lakers, you're looking at LeBron, that's why people's giving the Lakers the edge. AD, but he stays hurt all the time. Then, like Magic said, you have to play the game. Clippers got a better bench. And I really like that Beverly boy.
He kind of reminds me of myself a little bit.
Let me share this
with everyone at the table, because, I mean, you all just busted Bill's bubble. Because last week he was saying the Lakers, out of the two, Lakers and Clippers. So, I mean, you three are bringing the knowledge. Well, I'm glad you are, because
let's let the words of Bill Neal come out of Bill Neal's mouth. Now, here's the first thing. I am from Penn Hills, and I don't care about nobody from the city. No time. So let's get all cameras on, everything on. I don't care about these city people. And let me just tell you what I know to be. Here's the thing about you people. Forever in the day, LeBron was the greatest thing on the planet. Now he don't matter. Now, because Kawhi is in man, please. LeBron is still the best player on the planet. They just got the best big man on the planet. And Lakers will win that division. And let me just offer this, so you be careful. Don't count out Golden State. Don't count out Golden State.
No,
they're not
Golden
done.
State is they're not done. Not this year.
And I predict Thompson will see his way back this season, probably in January. Yeah. But I got Lakers winning the West, hands down.
I'm a LeBron hater, Magic. See, Bill, that's the problem.
What's the problem?
What's the problem? Penn Hills. Yeah. You don't understand this inner city thing.
That's been our problem.
For you to sit there and talk about the Lakers team. I mean, they put 3-4 pieces together. Now all of a sudden, they're the champions.
Oh, so what you're saying is,
can I try to throw something out there? I remember a time you got every college ball player around here. I knew that was good. And you wouldn't win your own business. You didn't win your own business.
Wow.
That's a good point.
I didn't realize that.
Look. He made us wait 2 weeks for Clyde Barnes, who never showed.
He tried to stack the team. He still couldn't win.
I am the best recruiter in cardiology history, and I'm the only coach to go to the championship four times. Now, that counts for something.
But let
me help you with something, because you come out with sticks or horses.
Yeah, okay.
You don't know what was going on here. Right now,
Mike, you a smart guy. If we go to East Hills right now, Kevin mm-hmm. Cameron, mm-hmm. and turn back the clock.
Yeah.
Now, I can understand.
Now,
I got a 1-point lead with 7 seconds on the clock, and a Hillcat is running the clock. Now, I can understand. Let me just finish real quick. Now, if Puffy Kennedy gets the rebound, goes through four people, gets down the floor and scores with 7 seconds. I live with that, Mike. If Bird or Junkhead do that, I live with that. Mike McCollum ain't getting the ball and getting down the court at 412 pounds. Mike, come on. The clock, Mike, the clock is done, Bill. I won the game, Hop, Bill. Hop, I won the game. We go to East Hills right now. My name is
Bill. First of all, if you was in a championship against a Hill team, you definitely wouldn't let a Hill person run that clock.
That was me ball doing that.
We're going to cut it there because we're running short on time. Good discussion, though, fellas. But check this out. LeBron. Are people running away from LeBron? Keep in mind, Doc Rivers, they asked Doc if he wanted that Lakers job. And the rumor is, or the word on the street is, no, the word on the street was LeBron doesn't want to be coached. Why would I want to go there? And turn around, Kawhi Leonard. It was rumored maybe he would go to the Lakers. What did Kawhi do? Kawhi said, no, I'm not going to the Lakers. I'm going across the hall to the Clippers. So LeBron, is there an issue with people wanting to coach or play with LeBron? Because I can't even name the Lakers coach. I know they have a new one, but I couldn't tell you who he is.
Well, the assistant coach is going to be the coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. They set up
Jason
like
Kidd.
Jason Kidd is going to be the coach. I think that's the game plan.
He might be able to do a better job than a couple of other guys in the past.
Because he won't take any credit.
Well, like you were saying there, mm-hmm. Kevin, it wasn't only Doc Rivers that won, because I remember Teron Lue turned the job down also.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't want to pay him. They didn't want to give him the years.
They didn't want to give him the years that he wanted.
Right.
But still, I got to go with Mike on this one. On that team right now, LeBron is the coach.
Dude, do you all have a problem with what Steve Kerr said? Steve Kerr had a problem with AD forcing the trade Anthony Davis.
Yeah. Before the call,
that's just a sign of the times.
Yeah.
I really can't say nothing about what AD did. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's bad in the kind of the way, but it's like I said, it's a sign of the times, the way things go right now.
So check this out. Chris Paul, Houston could trade him at the drop of a dime, right? But when a player wants to force his way out, I don't see that it should be a problem. I mean, if the team could do it, if the player has the leverage, should be able to do it as well.
Kevin, I agree with you 100%. I think the issue that people are having mm-hmm. is that the NBA is becoming more of a players' league.
Right.
Yes, yes.
It's more of a players' league than any of the other three professional leagues at this particular time. And I think some individuals have a hard time with that. They like it the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's great that, you know, players now have more control over their destiny.
Yeah.
I don't see a problem with that at all.
Right. Hey, Kev, I got to jump in because the reason we're here, or part of it anyway, is to establish once and for all, and this is going to the courtyard next week, and I'm going to put all your names beside mine so I don't catch all the heat. All right, let's just run it. Best player of all time, we're going with the rep.
City.
City.
Of course,
Now, I can only tell you players that I saw.
Well, that's all we can do.
I heard so much about Kenny the Red, but I saw him play a pickup game, and I believe that he was the truth. I can only go because when you were talking earlier, I'm sorry, I got to throw in that 71 Shimley team. It's one of the greatest of all time.
So
Coleman, those are the guys that I saw.
Keith Kelly, Ricky Coleman, Reese
Lucas. I was fortunate enough to play in an All-Star game with Kenny Durant from the Connie Hopkins League.
Oh, yeah, CCAC.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough to play
again. Yeah, he already had the bad injury.
Yeah.
Let's do the list. Now, give me give me your best player City League.
Well, my next one would be Ronnie Harris.
All right, that's not a name that comes up often.
Good name there, man.
Maurice Lucas.
Lucas.
Ricky Coleman. Jeep Kelly.
Now, let me ask you something. Bird, you want me to go back and put Coleman ahead of Harris?
No,
We're
not going to order. Okay.
Larry Richardson.
Yeah, Larry Bell is definitely Larry Richardson.
All right. Dwight Clay.
Oh, yeah, Dwight.
I'll tell you who else. You know, and this is my time because we went. Junior high and high school. Ronnie Hightower was a beast.
Which is the name that started the argument.
Well, you know what?
Sorry, Ronnie, I forgot you, man.
I've got to say him because he was my contemporary.
Yeah.
Okay, I played against him when he was at Larimer. I was at Heron Hill. He was at I was at Heron Hill when he was out at Allegheny. I was at Shelly, believe me. He was very difficult to deal with.
All right, G. Kelly.
Definitely.
I
gotta
hear it.
I want to Scotty Franklin.
Oh, look.
Now that name has not been mentioned to me at all.
Look,
Let
me just say this. In Heron Hill, we were in junior high school. You play 6 minute quarters. He averaged 33. Game. One of the best athletes I've ever seen in my life.
Scotty Franklin.
Yeah.
Good name.
Yeah.
Sam Clancy.
Sam Clancy is right there, absolutely.
See, like, this guy.
There's so many.
You have like 11 names.
These guys, I brought up Scotty Franklin. I remember when, back in our day, our days of direct was Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. The older guys came on Saturday mornings. We used to get up and run up there because Mr. Dean wouldn't let us play unless one of the older guys took us in. So, but when you went in that gym to play, fouls were not called. I mean, you had to play ball. I mean, it was physical.
Right.
A guy would give you the ball if he thought he was going to call a foul.
Right.
And then the gym would be so packed, if you lost the game, you might not get back on the court. So the competition was fierce.
Let me ask you a question, Bird. How was it playing against Deep Kelly? As a guard, as a hard-nosed guy, because you laced him and you didn't care who the other guy was.
Yeah, right.
Because he was phenomenal.
Yes. I think I was the only guy I'd never seen a weakness in that I could use against him.
Good point.
Like, when I watch a guy play, if I know I got to watch him, I look at what he don't want to do. You know, where he goes all the time. You're not going to take me to the same 15-foot shot eight times in a row. You don't forget that.
Right.
But with G. Kelly, I never seen a weakness in him. And his first step.
And his first step could be left or right.
Right.
That's not human.
And they used to compare his little brother to him. See, with the jumper thing.
Yeah.
Sonny jumped as high as he could jump every time he jumped. Jeep jumped as high as he had to jump. So you never knew how high Jeep could jump for real.
But Sonny Lewis got to put Sonny Lewis down here now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're less than 5 minutes. Are we good, Bill? Because I need to.
Give me 2 more minutes now. What about Puffy Kennedy?
No, but I would.
Second tier.
No, me myself. I throw Stan Mahorn in there. Stan Mahorn was a hard watch for me, too.
And Stan will tell you that.
Yes. Stan, he was. That's
worth mentioning. What about Bill Clark?
Bill Clark.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Big Bopper Edmonds. Big Keith Edmonds.
Keith Edmonds.
He averaged 30 a game.
All right. Anybody else now? Anybody else we need to have here?
Gene Turner.
Bobby Bird.
Man, there's so many, though.
Hobson.
Sounds Williams. Like offline Bill. So too many names, man. Too so many names.
Well, I mean, that gives us for the listeners and for the readers, and it goes without saying. You can do this in city. Look, correct me if I'm wrong. Ricky Coleman, Sonny Lewis, Geek Kelly, Maurice Lucas lived in the same project, didn't they?
They lived in the same project.
Let's cut it off there because we have probably about 2 minutes left, and I need to get this Major League Baseball information in and then share with everyone the major announcement. Major League Baseball, I have to recognize, now we talked, or I talked about the Pittsburgh, not the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Pittsburgh Pirates like a dog. But I do have something good to say, because the 1979 World Champions Pittsburgh Pirates was just recognized this past weekend. So that was actually great to see.
And it's a crime that Dave Parker's not in the Hall of Fame.
It is a crime.
The Cobra was the greatest player on the planet for 3, maybe 4 years. Doesn't make any sense.
So we need to make sure that changes.
Now, and highest paid, wasn't it?
He was the first million dollar player. Yeah. Now, regarding present day, just to make everybody aware, the trade deadline is coming up July 31st. Don't ask me what I think the Pirates should do, because they don't do it anyway. All right. So, also,
can y'all see this? World, it's go time, baby. It's go time.
Congratulations to the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame inductees, Mike Messina, Mariano Rivera, Lee Smith, and the late Rory Holiday, all pitchers, and also Harold Baines and Edgar Martinez, who spent much of their careers as designated hitters. Now,
if the Pirates had Rivera, they'd be 20 games up. All they need is a closer of that magnitude to change all their...
Been getting rid of closers. But to wrap things up,
who's coming?
The great major announcement, I should say. Okay. Head coach from the University of Pittsburgh men's basketball team, Jeff Capel, will sit on this show for an hour. So take Champions Live
right here
on August 31st. So we're real excited to have Jeff in the studio. And we're going to have a lot of fun. And again, for those of you that would like to send Jeff maybe a question or two, hit us up on Twitter, @STL Sports. And again, Jeff Capel, the University of Pittsburgh men's basketball coach, will be here. That show will be August 31st.
And that's important to know. Let me just say this. For a guy that worked with the Pitt program, with Roy Chipman, and been around Pitt for all these years, for as down as they were, Jeff Capel brought it back. Last year, butts in the seats, electricity, noise like we haven't seen it in 5, 6, 7 years. He's already made a difference. So getting him on this show is going to be huge, and looking forward to it. Hey, man, appreciate you guys coming out. I wish we'd have the lobster and the steak and all that stuff, like I promised you, but the Alapupa cat, you don't deliver.
Yeah, blame it on me. I'll take it.
That's how it looks. But look, we appreciate the best of the best being on the show today. We'll have them back. I'm going to have them all back when the Lakers win the West. Everybody can apologize for the Penn got in. Until then, remember.
Champions aren't born. They're made. And we make them better than anyone. Soul Tape. Champions Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
Brought to you by Cameron Professional Family of Businesses.
Welcome to the world of alternative healing and wellness. The Natural Healing and Wellness Center, located at 2336 East Carson Street on the South Side, bringing effective and alternative solutions to inspire hope and restore happiness and health to the Pittsburgh community. The Natural Healing and Wellness Center is a pet-friendly and warm, welcoming establishment that specializes in natural healing and wellness services. The Natural Healing and Wellness Center sells Wonder Lab natural vitamins and Green Roads CBD products to those who are looking for more effective alternative solutions for chronic pain. Log on to our website, naturalhealing-wellness.com, or call 412-904-1399. Now open the Natural Healing and Wellness Center, 2336 East Carson Street on the south side of Pittsburgh. Call 412-904-1399. That's 412-904-1399.